Now in chapter 3, this is where Solomon stumped his toe at the beginning, and it was before he asked God for wisdom. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, brought her into the city of David, until he made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Now, here is a revelation of what was happening. Now that David was gone, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. The people began now after the reign of David. There was a period of relaxation, and they began now to offer sacrifices in high places, which actually was heathen pagan worship. It was a return to idolatry. And Solomon, though loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Now, Solomon did not have the love for God that David did. That's the reason, again, that I want to call it David's temple and not Solomon's temple. Solomon was perfectly willing to offer sacrifices on heathen altars. David would never have done that. My friend, you can blame David all you want to, but here's an unusual man. David had been a man that loved God, and he only wanted to serve him. Solomon was not that kind of a man. Although he loved the Lord, he was walking in the statue of David. But here's that little flaw that we've seen that always makes second-rate material. And you see many things today sold in a sale because of the fact, just one little flaw. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Quite a show that any one of those would have pointed to Christ. Now, the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream by night. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Now, again, I must repeat that God today is not appearing in dreams. If you've had a dream, don't try to say the Lord appeared to you. You just find out what you had for supper, and you find out why you had the dream. God today is speaking in His Word, but Solomon didn't have all this Word in his day. And now God is appearing to Solomon, and He's telling him, "Ask what you will, I'll grant it to you." Now, what is Solomon going to ask for? God gives him a choice of asking anything that he wants. Solomon, by the way, is going to make a very wise choice. He had a certain amount of wisdom before God gave him wisdom, by the way, to make such a choice as this. And I do not believe that Solomon ever had the spiritual capacity for God that David had. You do not find in him that longing for God in his life. But he recognized his shortcomings, and the first thing that he did after he married the daughter of Pharaoh, and you only wish he had done this before, he went to the Lord and asked for wisdom. And it was because the Lord had said to him, "You ask what you want, and I'll give it to you." And I think the Lord recognized that Solomon had many deficiencies. He was wholly and totally inadequate. But my friend, who is adequate for these things? Who's adequate today for living the Christian life? None of us are. Fact the matter is, we'll have to come to this later, but did you know that you and I cannot live the Christian life? And furthermore, God never asked us to do it. He asked that He might live it through us. And now He is wanting to do something through Solomon here. And we find that Solomon is permitted to ask for what he wanted. He could have asked for riches. He could ask for power. There are many things he could have asked for. But you'll notice that recognizing his deficiency, this was his request. And I begin reading at verse 6. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now he recognized that he was attempting to fill not the shoes, but the throne of David. And that was no easy task. And he was wholly and totally inadequate. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant. Now here is his request. And it is a marvelous request, by the way. This man recognizing his deficiency, his inadequacy, and unfortunately, there's so many folk today that are attempting to serve God that don't seem to recognize their inadequacy. None of us, friends, I do not care who you are and what your talent is. You are wholly inadequate to serve God. And that applies maybe not to you, but it applies to me today. I recognize that. I hope you do. And that puts us in a position where God can help us. Now, here is his request. It's verse 9 of 1 Kings 3, and I'm reading it. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who's able to judge this, thy so great a people? Now, he's asking for an understanding heart to judge God's people. Now, I want to look at that for just a moment. He's praying, we always say, Solomon prayed for wisdom. Well, that's certainly true, but what kind of wisdom? He was praying for, shall we call it, political wisdom. That is, the ability to be a statesman and know how to judge and rule over these people and make great national decisions. But he's not praying for spiritual discernment. I think that we need to make that very clear, and I think that you will find in the books that Solomon wrote, Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes especially, you find in both of these books wisdom that will guide you down here in this world. And that's the reason the book of Proverbs, such a fine book for young men to be given the book of Proverbs. We'll see that, of course, when we come to that book. But actually, he did not pray for spiritual discernment. And yet, I think you'll find in the Song of Solomon that he reveals a real spiritual discernment. But the thing he's praying for and the thing that God gives him is this type of wisdom. Now, notice verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. You see that? That is it. To make wise decisions. Now that is today something that, very candidly, the sickening scene that is before us today in our government is the fact that we've got a group of men clamoring for a position, want to be elected to an office. And all of them are telling us how great they are and what marvelous ability they have and that they are able to solve the problems. Now, friends, by now, some of us older squares, I think we've come to the conclusion that these boys are just kidding us. They don't have the solution. They don't have the wisdom. Oh, if just some of them would come on the scene and say, I don't have the wisdom, I recognize my inadequacy, but I'm going to depend on God to lead me and guide me. May I say to you, it'd be so startling. I think that it would probably rock the nation. But that's not what we are hearing, as you well know today. Now, Solomon asks for that, and God commends him for it. This was a great step, you see. Now, having asked for this, and God promises now to bless him, not only that, he says in verse 12, Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I've given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now, Solomon does stand out as being a wise ruler. And all you have to do is read the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Friends, you'll find there human wisdom on the highest plane. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not inspired. What I'm trying to say is God, through Solomon, is giving the highest of human wisdom. But he makes it very clear that it's wholly and totally inadequate to meet the issues of life. Now, verse 13, And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I lengthen thy days. Now, the standard becomes, as we've indicated before, the standard is David. That's a human standard. It's not very high. Very frankly, very few of the kings ever came up to that. Now we're told Solomon awoke. Behold, it was a dream. He came to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings. He offered peace offerings, made a feast to all his servants. Now, those burnt offerings and peace offerings, as we've said, point to the Lord Jesus Christ. The burnt offering speaks of who he is. Peace offering speaks of the fact he made peace by the blood of his cross. Because of who he is, he's able to bring us into a right relationship with God, and that the guilt of our sins may be removed. Now we have a demonstration of the wisdom of Solomon that is given here. And it was a very clever solution to a problem, and a real problem. Very briefly, and I'll not read this portion of it, but there were two women, and they were harlots, and they had between them one child. Whose was it? One claimed the child, and the other claimed the child. So they brought this matter to Solomon. Now, how would you solve the problem? How would you find out? Solomon said, Well, I don't know who's the mother of this child, but I think that since we don't know and both of you claim it, the thing to do would be just bring me a very sharp sword. We'll cut the baby right in half. One of you'll have one half, one the other. Now, the one that was not the mother, who apparently had it in for the other woman, and she had no love, of course, for the baby. She said, Sure, go ahead and do that. The real mother said, Oh, no, don't do that. My child. And Solomon said then, This obviously, the woman that was actually willing to give the child up in order to save its life, that would be the mother of the child. I would say that that was a very fine way of doing it and a very excellent way. Now, this was just one of the many examples that happened during the life of this man, Solomon.